Welcome everybody to episode 113. I'm singing an intro. It's a present from me, or a curse, I don't know, but either way, it is Christmas Eve as I'm recording this and as I will release this. I intended to release it out yesterday, which would have been Saturday, but I was super busy making my wife's Christmas present, one of her Christmas presents, making her headboard out of cedar. It's awesome. It's got lights. It's got shelving. I did a good job, if I don't mind saying so myself. And but yeah, I like it. And that's why I didn't get this out, because it was all day and it's still drying for one more day of finish. So that said, I am recording this intro and you are listening to episode 113, and I thank you for that. And I thanks to our sponsors, the Beer Sauce Shop, located on 318 Mid Rivers Mall Drive, with over 500 individual craft beers for sale from both local and nationwide craft brewers. Also, they have over 25 independent and craft whiskeys made by whiskey distilleries as far as Kansas and as close as our backyard here in St. Louis. So, and if you're wanting to cook, over hundreds and hundreds of rubs, sauces, and hot sauce and things of that nature. So they got it all. They also sell bomber jackets. But if you don't want to go in to buy a bomber jacket, you can always go online to www.mybomberjackets.com, where you can use the promo code RAPCAST15 to save 15% on your entire purchase. That guy's got a lot of stuff coming out. And my personal favorite, we talk about it, I think we talked about it last episode, was the pint glass bomber jacket, which was it's pretty awesome. I still want to talk to him about getting some of those. And I do know that the Beer Sauce Shop is in the works for getting some of those. Hey, and by the way, if you are free after the new year, coming up soon, Farfetched Collective, Music Collective, has their release for Prologue 7. And I want to tell you when that is and what that is. That is a collection of greatest hits or new songs from their artists such as Matthias and the Pirates, who's not on this one, but they are under that label. But Farfetched 7 comes out January 13th at the Firebird. It's 8 p.m., $10 entry, so go see that. It features bands like 18 and County, Interplane, Subtle Aggression, Monopoly, Cave of Swords, Blank Generation, Hand and Feet, Scrub. I don't think that's Hand and Feet, Scrub. And I think it's not Scrub. I think it's, whatever. It's going to be a good time, so go see it. Tell them we sent you, if you talk to anybody. I don't know how you will, because it's going to be crowded, but it's going to be fun, and it's going to have great local music, probably some local beers, a lot of local flavor. If you're in the St. Louis area, you should do it. I'm out of that. All that done. I'm done. This is the most volatile, heated, argumentative episode we've ever had, and it's full of spoilers. It's all about Star Wars Episode 8, the very polarizing Episode 8. So after you download this, feel free to tweet us and use the hashtag #MyJediTake. #MyJediTake. Tell us why we're wrong or why we're right or what you agree or what you don't agree. And that's all for the intro. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Kwanzaa, whatever you're into. We'll see you on New Year's, or at least talk to you then. Thanks. Here comes the music. Hey, we are back. This time, I'm going to go out on a limb and say, for the first half, we're going to flip things. For the first part of this, we'll have the flop, who is to my left. But then after that, when we get into the Star Wars stuff, it's just going to be me, Bender right across from me, and the Silver Badger to my right, Tom.
Just the sausage party.
Yeah, just a sausage fest for Star Wars, which, that's probably been that way for about 40 years now.
Yeah, I think so.
Well, I think it's kind of chic now for ladies to enjoy the Star Wars.
Yeah.
Rey is a very strong female lead character.
All right, you're already into it. Right. Let's skip it.
So like I said, we're gonna flip some stuff around. I did want to I'm gonna tell you right now, I'm gonna break my own rule. We are you guys spoil away. I mean, this is now one of the biggest movies ever. So
it's been like a week. Everybody's seen it.
Yeah, already. If you haven't seen it, you trust me, don't go see it, or you don't need to go see it because it's everywhere. But
spoiler,
we'll get into that.
Spoiler alert of what we're talking about later.
No. I mean, just on social media, and we'll talk about that too. So, but here we go. We're gonna start off. I'm gonna start off with our Patreon site, our patron site, or Patreon.
Whatever. Patreon, man.
Patreon, whatever. But
mine's a silver badger.
Yeah. Do what?
My Patronus.
Oh, you're gonna have to speak up. See, while ago I said when you tested the mic, you go, "Hey now,
hey
now,"
and then
you just started talking just like this.
Should I use fake radio voice from now on?
No, but for fuck's sake, man, you've got drama project. project. You got to speak from your diaphragm.
From the diaphragm.
Or speak into her diaphragm.
Hey, dog.
Anyway, we are, I'm going to give you
some. Speak into her throat? That's weird.
First, we're going to give a shout out to the Dean of Rap, Dusty. He is our first one. He did the $5 a month, which means we can't back out now. But what we're going to do.
Sucker, we got your money.
I ain't doing shit for that motherfucker. So what we're going to do, at $1 a month, I will release, after we record, either the night of or the next day, just the episode without any editing, without the music, with whatever 4 or 5 minutes or a couple minutes after, however it goes, we're going to release that. So for $5 a month, you will get, we are going to start doing the videos of the beer review. Now, we're not, well, we've already done it blind.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is we're probably going to have to save a little bit and do it. Or maybe we'll just do some extra beers, like whatever beers we want to bring to the table. Like each month, we'll bring a different beer, and we'll review that beer, and we'll release that. And
so we've got. I'm sorry. Does the five get that plus the other one?
Yeah, they get the other one. And it's then there is a $10 a month thing, but I haven't decided what that's going to be. We'll figure that out.
Dick pics.
If someone does a $10
a
month,
I was going to say the same thing.
Or after, if we get enough people doing the five, I will decide to do the $10 a month. So we'll figure it out. I've already created the level. I just have not put anything on
it. We could do close-ups of knees or boobs, and then let people guess if they're Missy's boobs or our knees.
Well, those have no nipples on them. Those must be knees.
I mean, just cleavage shots.
Those are balls. How are you going to get skin behind your knees? Like when you
just put a shirt on and pull it over your knees like you did when you were a kid. It's not that hard.
I never did that when I was a kid.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
I never looked for the knee cleavage.
I thought you were just going
to
do
We had more fun things to do in West County.
Yeah, and in the boot room, Missouri.
We grew up poor, and I wore t-shirts to bed.
We didn't have a lot of money growing up, Tom.
Yeah. How does the wearing t-shirts
to bed equate? Yeah, how does wearing t-shirts
make it, when it's a bigger t-shirt, then it's easier to pull over your knees.
Oh.
You know, then you like tuck up into it like a ball.
Because I too wore a t-shirt to bed.
Yeah, me too.
I was not rich by any means, but I don't think that was a status thing.
I had pajama with the
fence. Fine, shit on my idea. Fuck you guys.
Well, we're not going to talk about it on air, but me and Missy and I've talked to Tom about it. We've got some good ideas for the monthly review for the video. So, and I think you'll be on board with it too. So
I remember this conversation.
I feel like I'm outnumbered anyway. So
No, I think you'll it'll be fun. So I think
we learned our lesson. We'll include you more.
Yeah, the one time we didn't include him, man. He cried for he stopped talking to us for like a day.
Yeah, like 3 or 4 minutes.
Yeah. That was a great 3 or 4 minutes.
I was
minutes.
Upset.
Yeah, he was.
We know.
And he called us sensitive last week. outside of that, that is all the real big stuff I had to. I did want to throw it to Missy to see if she's got anything for this episode.
I actually do not this time.
We should get a crickets sound.
Yeah,
what happened to our soundboard?
I've got it, and I was thinking about that today. I can, now that I've got a little more room, I could hook it up to where it's, and I want to get like a stand. That way it's not a pain in the butt. But yeah, I can go back to that.
We'll get some crickets, and then like air running down a hallway.
Does air run?
Like, whoosh, you know, that whooshing sound?
So the whooshing sound.
I think it does. I think Christopher Cross had a song called Ride Like the Wind.
Oh, there you go. See? Or Run Like the Wind?
That too.
Okay.
I think it's probably like the
Wind. Well, he said was saying something before I bend her up today.
No, I was going to say I brought something in the last 2 weeks. I'm good this week.
So what do you got? You got anything that in particular un-Star Wars related?
I started listening to that book, Altered Carbon, which is that new Netflix show that nobody knows anything about, but everybody seems pretty excited.
The steampunk one?
It's more Blade Runner-ish.
I believe the description calls it a steampunk.
Well, the book isn't very steampunk. It's set in the future, and so you can't ever die as long as you have some money, because your brain and memories all get uploaded into a system, and then you can jump worlds or whatever by buying sleeves, which is other people who are in storage.
Okay.
So, like, you know, you could live your life in your body and then wake up in my body. And then, you know,
that'd be a downgrade.
It'd be weird. But it's okay. You can tell it's the guy who wrote it. You can tell it's his first book.
Hey, I watched, before I throw it to you, I watched The Rundown for a little bit before you guys got here.
Great movie.
With The Rock?
And we've talked about it before. I did not realize until I just now watched it. Peter Berg directed that.
Oh, really? Oh.
He's all over the place, I guess.
So that's, of course it's a good movie. No.
He's usually in his movies.
He does make cameos in a good chunk of his movies, but not that one.
I like, what were we watching? Ballers. He was in Ballers this season as a coach. But as himself, like his coach name was Berg.
Yeah, Coach Berg.
Coach Berg.
What do you got, Sir Thomas?
I got two things.
Uh-oh.
First off, we want to talk about the Polar Express. Bender and I both went to the Polar Express.
Yeah. Last week. How was that, guys?
You guys enjoy it?
It was okay.
Our kids did.
Did you dance?
Fuck no.
But did they dance in your? Yeah, they didn't dance so much in Tom's.
They didn't dance.
Not
did you
lot.
Have? Did you have
during
the
hot chocolate?
The blonde. We had the blonde lady that was like very, very into it.
Hmm. We had a black dude who was really, really into it, and I felt bad when some guy goes, "Hey, Urkel, settle down."
What? That's not cool. See what?
Yeah.
See, somebody should have smoked that dude right in his fucking mouth.
He didn't
let
it bother him though. He kept on in the game.
Yeah. And well, he's a pro.
And he had the best quote of the whole night. I almost spit my hot chocolate out. So you roll.
You almost did a Polar Express spit take?
I almost did because you roll. You see Santa, right? And you roll. We were kind of up front, so you roll past him. And he goes, "Don't worry. East North Pole is still under construction."
But I'm done.
I thought it was funny.
So yeah.
The car that we
were
in.
That's a Tom pour right there, John.
The car that we were in was actually rented out by one of Rachel's high school friends. So, like, you can buy a whole car and then sell the tickets for cheaper. If you buy the whole car, it's half price.
What?
Then, yeah.
How fucking much is the?
You got.
Well, we
car.
Paid $44 a ticket.
They were $75 for normal. Yeah.
So
plus fees, you know.
No, I think we only paid the $44. I don't know.
No, but, I mean the $75 plus whatever the Ticketmaster fee was. So yeah, that's half price.
So a bunch of like the girls that Rachel went to high school with all went in and got a car together, and it worked out. So we knew everybody on the car. She knew everybody on the car. So it was kind of fun. But yeah, I mean the people were way into it, and like
hard?
I get in. Like, I just, like, when I see people, like, stay in character like that, I'm like, God, I'm just kind of embarrassed for you. I know they're liking it, but I get uncomfortable.
They're getting paid for that.
I know,
that's an acting gig. That's working their chops. Plus, Kaylin got up and danced, like, all the whole
trip. Vera was dancing. She was loving it.
So is it just a one-time thing for you?
It's like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I would never do it again.
Tom, you have a baby. You think you'll do it again in the future?
When he gets old enough to enjoy
it? I would do it again, but I probably want to do it for like 5 years.
Yeah, that's smart.
So we had the VIP section because, you know, West County.
Yeah, we did VIP too.
Yeah, it was worth it because we had our own little tables. Kind of.
Is that what you guys had?
No, we had a normal car.
Oh, yeah. See, we had our own table and
we
got
also
to keep
had
the mug.
Yeah.
And,
we had our own table too. It just you'll flip the thing down and it smashes you in the knee.
We had a real table. Yeah,
yeah, whatever. Yeah. Okay. It was 20 minutes. Who gives a fuck?
So bully for you for saving all that money. We had our own table and some hot chocolate and some chocolate chip cookies.
I got it's gluten free chocolate chip cookie
and
too.
Yeah, and taste free.
And that's exactly the way it was for me. I did not finish.
Good.
If I do not finish my chocolate chip cookies, there is problems with that.
Yeah, the hot chocolate.
I was hungry.
Fantastic.
So I ate it.
Speaking of cookies, my Secret Santa at work got me a mini cast iron skillet with chocolate chip cookie mix to make and put in the dough and cook it in there.
Oh, that's cool. Awesome.
It is. And then I'm going to use that as a weapon if Jeremy gets out of line.
That makes sense, too. That's a solid plan.
Smash him in the face.
What else do you have?
Super Mario RPG.
What else do you have?
So, yesterday was the 21st anniversary of the release of the Beavis and Butthead movie.
No 21st. Shit.
So, Beavis and Butthead are old enough to drink.
Yeah.
Congratulations, fellas.
And so, that got me thinking.
Way to go, Mike Judge.
Real quick, around the table. I was not allowed to watch Beavis and Butthead as a kid. Was anybody else not allowed to watch any?
Well, first
shows?
Off, I was a senior when it came out, so nobody was telling me anything.
Damn
to watch.
Your old balls.
Plus, nobody would have. I mean, my fan. I was watching. I just told Missy a story recently because Carter Carter asked me to maybe acquire something for a streaming service to all my friends that may or may not be legal, and it was Hot Dog the Movie. And you had brought Hot Dog up last week.
I did?
Summer School. You mentioned the guy from Summer School that was in both of them. And I explained Missy what Hot Dog the Movie. That's the first movie that I can remember watching that had boobs.
Ooh,
like, because me and my buddy Sean Tatum had a satellite in our town, and we would sneak down at like 11 midnight and watch shit movies with skin. And we probably were 8, 9.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And then at some point, that just turned into my mom just not giving a shit that I was watching those.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch it in the beginning. I'd have to look up when exactly it started. But
I think 95 now?
My mom watched it and was like,
probably.
This is stupid. 21 if you want to watch this dumb shit, go for it.
What was the first movie you remember seeing boobies?
I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. I don't remember.
This started in 1993, guys.
Which one?
Beavis and Butthead.
Well, when did it... The
series ran from March 8th, 93 to November 28th, 1997. I didn't have cable.
So that would be 24 years old then.
No, he said the movie.
The movie.
Oh, the movie. Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Beavis and Butthead. Do
America. That makes sense. Yeah.
I would say that's probably 97.
Well, no, 21 years would be 96.
Mm. Well, yeah, there you go.
Hold on.
Mathematically speaking,
I forgot about that.
You take 2017 and subtract 21 years.
I got that right.
Yeah. I forgot he said 21.
20 years would have made, you know, I don't know.
I relate everything
I've
to
got
sixth grade.
I've got a couple things before we get into Star Wars-dom.
So,
one being I went to the mall today.
Oh, yeah? How was that experience?
Well, I went to the West County Mall today, and it dawned on me today that at no point in my life have I ever been more removed from what it is like in all facets to be a high school or college kid. I was watching them today and listening to them because I had to go into the store where there was nothing but college-age girls. Nothing but college-age girls and moms that were going to buy them stuff. Mm. And I heard them talking, and I thought, wow, I don't even know if, as a guy, I don't even know what my plan of attack would be with these kind of girls. And then as I was walking around the mall,
that's probably a good thing for a 40-year-old man.
Yeah.
I had another plan of attack.
Well, they were old enough in theory, but I was also walking around the mall, and I was watching the guys and the girls that were couples, and I was like, their style is 100% different now. The way they talk. I was like, I'm turning. I'm 40.
Congratulations.
I'm the old guy.
You're old.
Yeah. I mean, it was. I saw a girl. Fancy. This is West County Mall, so she was fancy. This is your neighborhood. She was fancy as can be. Wearing. I know Missy doesn't like tights or pants, but they were tights.
Right. No, tights and pants, or
tights?
Just tight
tights
pants?
Are not pants.
Tights are not pants.
What she
tights.
Says.
My rule is you. If you're wearing leggings or tights, your shirt has to cover your butt because they
I'm
are
pretty
not
sure that's
legit.
That's supposed to be the rule.
Yeah,
because
they're
girls
not actual
do it without
pants
it.
That you should be wearing out. You wear them lounging.
But girls
you wear
do
them
that.
Work out in. You
so
don't go out in.
This girl was pretty. She was tall. She was wearing tights as pants. She had a top on that was like not a crop, but like short. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you're up by your chest.
You know what I mean?
Chesticles.
But it was short.
Yeah, it's like his nipples.
But and then she had a shirt on under it and stuff. But here's the kicker. All that was okay, whatever. She had neon green fur boots that started just below her knee. She looked like a Chewbacca from knee
she
down.
Was,
only
West
neon
County
green.
Mall? She was in that one trailer park that's in West County.
Serious question.
This girl was not trailer park. This girl, no, it did
you
not.
What?
Did it do it for me? It was the color of his mic more than
wow.
neon.
Yeah, okay,
it was
like, wow. Leave the boots wow. on.
And you don't. And she, like I said, she was pretty. But when you're walking by, all you see is neon boots or green.
Maybe that's.
I was like, whoa. And then I was like, and I looked at her and I go, okay, why? And
maybe that's her tactic to distract men from looking at her.
Yeah. The next thing you know, she steals your heart.
And I got, and I was in front, and the girls in front of me in the line I was in, which was ungodly long, one was the not pretty girl of her group, and the other one was a very pretty girl, and they were clearly like freshmen or sophomores in college. And that's it. And the unpretty one was talking about all the guys that wanted her to Snapchat her or them, and like I sent this one with me holding the beer, and I was like, this is drunk Charlotte, and every time I'm out, he says, see, you're out, send me a pic of drunk Charlotte. And I wanted to say, sweetheart, they're making fun of those pictures.
Yeah.
They're not wanting you because they're flirting with you. But
yeah.
And that, I mean, that was.
Or she just made up the whole story.
Yeah.
Yeah, could
be cool for
but that
friend.
Was 20 minutes of my life.
I bet drunk Charlotte takes her towel.
Like off. Someone stabbing me in the eyeballs with needles. Yeah. That's sure. how bad that
but her
was.
Real name was Sandy. Her alter ego when she's drunk is Charlotte.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I had a similar experience, but on the opposite end of the spectrum.
Was that an octopus?
Opposite. So, like, I worked down on Main Street, St. Charles.
Down on Main Street.
We were supposed to play basketball yesterday, and it got canceled because a bunch of guys backed out. So, I was like, I got nothing to do. So, I walked around and, like, looked at all those, like, little shops down on Main Street.
Oh, yeah.
And, go ahead.
You aren't gonna we already did it, dude. We're, okay. We passed it. Don't force your joke. Don't force our jokes.
I was just waiting. I was pausing.
Through you.
Anyways. Everybody is so old that walk. I was like, who buys shit in here? Because, like, all of it's like
it's
junk stores and antique-y stuff, but, like, it is like old. It's like the equivalent of the mall for old people. And that road is not even. There's like bricks everywhere, and these old fuckers are out there just getting.
Would you say
down.
There's another brick in the road?
Yeah.
I know it's not the wall.
It's weird
but
that
still.
It's antique-y during the day, and at night, all the bars that are open.
Yeah.
I reached for that one.
Yeah, it was.
Hey,
it was
your last
stretch.
Name Armstrong? Because that was a bit of a stretch.
Oh,
we got one of those upstairs.
But yeah, it's interesting. And you're like, that's, you know, just checking shit out. It's just nothing but old.
Do you think those
ladies.
Old people like go there on purpose to kill themselves? Like they hope they fall and break their hip.
Yeah,
or they go there because they think all this old shit. The kids are not here.
Yeah,
yeah.
Either that, or they're like, my grandkids will want this one day. No, they won't.
They're totally buying gifts for people that the people won't like.
The stores there are the same, like clothing and embroidery stores.
It's the exact same, yeah. Yeah. Hey, the other thing I had today, and this is I just saw this later in the day, but did you see that Vincent K. McMahon, whose new company Alpha, is just signed, just copyrighted 5 patents on the XFL, and it looks like he's poised to bring the XFL back with ESPN?
Yeah, because nobody wants that.
No, that was my thing.
So
I said,
I'm calling it right here, right now. If we get an XFL team, season tickets for the Rap.
All right.
That can only set us back about $37. Yeah. So I'm down.
We should get a booth.
Right. We should.
They should let us host?
As we say, we should go ahead and put our applications in for the radio version.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah.
What should the name be for the St. Louis XFL team?
The Criminals?
Here today?
That's just, the Jorts.
That's just hateful.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
you gotta bring the Stallions back. St. Louis Stallions.
The Crams, just so it rhymes. With the Rams, something. I mean, it's going to be something. I don't know.
St. Louis River Bandits.
We'll see. Let's
the St. Louis Catfish.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Mississippi Mudcats.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
I'm pretty sure that's an actual team somewhere.
It could be. That's probably a minor league baseball team.
Toledo Mudhens.
Yeah.
Is there?
Yeah.
Is Bobby Boucher on it?
Well, the Toledo Mudhens made famous by Max Klinger of MASH fame. He used to talk about him all the time.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Like on the show?
On MASH, yeah. He was from Toledo and he would always talk about all the teams and stuff, but Mudhen games, he would always talk about them. Yeah. With that said,
now you know.
Missy, I can only assume if she stays down here, it's to drink heavily and make snicker at us.
We're jumping
and
right in.
Make fun of us when applicable. Maybe even look on her phone. This is good surfing time for her.
Yeah.
But she has not seen it. She is not a Star Wars fan, and she has no opinion other than it's retarded and we're dumb for being so passionate about it.
My only opinion is that you guys are retarded.
Well, let's ask her the first question, and I think she can have an opinion on this one. Is Adam Driver attractive?
Hell no.
Really?
His body is, his face is not.
Okay.
Did you see that meme that I shared on the Facebook page?
He does look like Keanu Reeves.
Him and Keanu?
Keanu Reeves attractive?
No. Really? Never. Hmm. And he doesn't, I mean, he's in shape.
Bender's going to have to reevaluate his gaydom there.
Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like if
I was going to swing that way, those two guys are on the list.
For someone that's super unhealthy, I don't know how Keanu... Just looks ageless.
I think he smokes. I don't know that he's super unhealthy.
Yeah.
He's in good shape.
Yeah.
So Johnny is super unhealthy.
Plus, yeah. He's a vampire, so yeah, it's fine. Don't worry about it.
So wait, if Johnny Utah wanted to take you to Pound Town, you'd be like, no thanks?
Ew, no.
Johnny Utah.
No.
Only if he used that name. Mm-hmm. What if he was like, hey, I'm John Wick?
Well, John Wick, maybe.
I may sleep with him if he come up with it. I'm John Wick.
I'd be scared to say no to John Wick.
Yeah.
Okay.
He doesn't seem like the guy would force himself on
it. Here we go, though. No beating around about it. Here is our Random Ass Podcast presents the most spoilerific review of any movie we've ever done, Star Wars Episode 9,
The
Last Jedi Edition.
We've only watched it once each, right?
I feel like I've watched it 12 times.
You didn't like it?
We're going to talk about it.
Okay.
Before we get into it, I want to just say, let's just talk about the social media outcry of it before we get to our... Here's the way I got it broke down. I got our pros and cons, then I got interesting facts and trivia about it, then we'll go with our six-pack review of it.
Okay.
Cool.
Do you want to talk about our date that we had?
Yeah, we had a mandate, 9:30 in the morning.
Did you guys hold hands?
We had breakfast, which means insinuating that we slept together the night before.
I had a bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit.
Whose house did you stay at? Who did the walk of shame?
I had Tanned Badger for breakfast.
Hey, now.
Yeah, it wasn't silver after I got done. Yeah, that's gross. He was more pearl in color. Boom, boy, it gets worse. Here we go, though. First off, this is probably the most divisive thing our country has seen since the election. This movie.
That is a hyperbole, but I think you are correct.
I think it is probably... This movie is, by the way, the best Rotten Tomatoes... Are tied now for the best Rotten Tomatoes review.
Worst critics review.
And the worst fan review.
Yeah.
So it is a polarizing film. One of the things that have came out from it that I've cracked me up in the social medias is the hashtag not my Luke.
Yeah.
And which, I've not seen that. Which, okay. By the way, Mark Hamill has... added fuel to that fire by saying he's the one that created that. He said, this is not my Luke. When He had a conversation with Rain Johnson during filming. It's like, yeah, I don't know who this is, but this is not my Luke. This is not the way I've ever done him and stuff. But he said, he even said, I trust the director and I'm happy with the final outcome. But he goes, it just wasn't the Luke that I was expecting to play. So people have ran with that, just the not my Luke part. They pulled it out, isolated that soundbite, and hashtag not my Luke. The second thing is the growing petition to remove this film from canon.
God, if you sign that, you're the biggest fucking loser in this world.
Yeah, you are. And you should jump off a cliff.
But
you're probably the kind of guy who would call into their senator 20.
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Hey, passion is passion, no matter what flavor it is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The other thing about it is I just literally, like I was telling you guys, I feel like I've watched it 12 times because I've never... And hyperbole aside, but outside the election, I've never seen so many Star Wars or anything related pop up in my feed as often as this has.
Yeah, I'd agree.
In the Facebooks and the Twitters and the Yahoo. I mean, everything. It's everywhere, constantly. Yeah. And so I believe that
it's
know.
It's a top search on Bing.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that still a thing?
Bing came back because of Star Wars. We're lying there.
I know.
So
they brought back AOL Instant Messenger for people to talk about the movie.
So I got a feeling that this is going to be 2-1 and who liked and didn't like it, but just by judging from your brief thing. But I do want to get into pros and cons of the movie before we give it our final review. And so we'll all give our pros for it and stuff. I'll just start because we kind of got an idea where I'm going. First thing I loved about the movie, not necessarily the opening scene, stuff, but I did love how Poe flew the X-Wing. We saw like real maneuvering with the X-Wing. Yeah. I thought that was awesome. I thought it looked amazing. I thought the attack on the dreadlock looked cool as can be. Like most of this movie, Dreadnought. Yeah, you can't take anything away from how the film looked.
Yeah.
No,
it was gorgeous.
Yep.
What'd you like? I mean, I've got other things, but we're going to get into it. So I just wanted to go see where you are.
Are we talking about the beginning or just...
Start breaking it down wherever you want. First thing that pops in your mind.
The flying was great, but the throne room battle was ridiculous.
That was the best scene in the movie.
Before we get to that, because I'm sure we'll spend some time on it, I just want to say that I liked Poe coming out of this movie a lot more. Like, he, with the exception of Kylo and Rey, is by far solidified as the number three character I care about moving forward.
I feel like you're right. He is the number three character, but whether or not I like him or not, we'll get into when I get to cons.
I think Finn took a step back in this movie, but I do think that's his fault.
I don't think it's his fault either, and we're going to get into that too.
Yeah.
I loved, and again, if you don't want to get spoiled by the movie, we're going to talk a lot of spoilers. Whether you believe it or not, I loved the twist of Rey's parents.
I did too, and I like,
and I hope it's true.
I think it's going to be.
Stop it.
I know.
I believe that because of the way this film played out.
Ended.
No, the whole thing. The whole thing played out. I believe it's true because I think this whole movie, and this is one of the cons I have for it, I think this whole movie, from Rian Johnson's perspective, was to set up his trilogy coming up.
I don't think it's that. I think I disagree in the fact because I watched a little bit of the... I haven't watched past season one, but like the Rebels and everything has been pushing past the Skywalker family, or been trying to push past the Skywalker family and other things. I think this is what... I don't think it's Rian Johnson. I think it's Disney and John.
Oh,
right.
Yeah. But, I mean, he was the director. So, I mean, it could have been Disney pushing him. I believe they're pushing him to whatever he's doing.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean. I don't mean he in particular did it. But the direction of it was to move past that.
Yeah.
And I believe you can plant the seeds for that. But I believe you can't. And spoiler for our episode, not for Star Wars.
I don't even need to say spoiler anymore.
No, just for where we're going to go in the cons is I feel like that sacrificed this movie. I feel like they sacrificed the Skywalker story in order to set up a story that we don't know anything about yet. And I'm okay with not knowing anything about, and I'm okay where they're going.
Yeah, and I think Skywalker's already had his story, and I think that's the whole point.
Yeah, but I don't think – I mean, has he?
Yeah, the
I mean, he has in terms of this,
but I mean, like, I think the A New Hope and
We have one more film left.
Yeah, I know, but that's the whole point.
Well, the series is clearly about even more so now Anakin Skywalker, not Luke. The films.
The Vader's lineage of Vader. And, that's a good point.
I think that the end of this movie was saying that there's a new set of legends, and Luke made himself a new legend. Like, he's the beacon of hope that replaces Vader.
Yeah, I get that. And that would be, a little more acceptable if there wasn't one more of these films left. There's another one left.
But I think the next one is going to jump like 10 years.
But and still include the Solos, the Skywalkers, because you've got...
You have to.
Yeah, but right.
The Rebellion's got to rebuild.
Right, I get it. But that's the problem I have with it. Your sacrifice, you're now... You didn't further that story in this whatsoever.
But didn't Empire's after Empire Strikes Back, isn't it like 15 years or 10 years between? Is it 1 year?
1 year.
Yeah. Is it?
I thought it was longer than that. No, there's 3 years between New Hope and Empire.
Right.
But there's only 1 year between.
In the movie itself, there's 3 years between A New Hope and Empire.
In the Star Wars world,
in the
three years
canon,
okay. Star Wars
in the timeline, yeah,
okay,
and there's one thing,
yeah. Yeah, and we're gonna get into it. I did put that the pro of this, it does, they did plant the seeds for an extended universe, and Big D and I talked about it. He's another person that really liked this movie. In fact, he said it was his favorite Star Wars movie. Said it was might have been his most enjoyable theater experience he's ever had.
Oh, Big D, terrible take.
Yeah, well, and I did say. I don't have a problem moving past the Skywalker thing because there's this whole galaxy. Yeah. Now, we're going to get into Khan with the rest of the galaxy here in a second, but there's this whole galaxy that you can tell all this story, which can include Jedis that don't have to be Skywalker related. And call me crazy, but they can kind of angle the waves into telling stories much closer related to Serenity, which was what was so great about Firefly and Serenity. And they could do that smaller stories. It doesn't have to be this big military versus rebels, which I think they're moving past.
Yeah, I think that's what they're going to work towards, too. One more before we move on to the cons. Laura Dern's character, Hondo or whatever her name
is. Yeah. The vice admiral that took over Leia.
I thought she did a spectacular job.
I didn't have a
problem. I think Killing Her was kind of stupid. But
I didn't have a problem with her. I still had a problem with why we were there on that scene, and we'll get to that.
Completely worthless character.
I thought she did a great job.
No, that's nothing. Nothing.
I don't think it was a completely worthless character either. I think her death was useless, but like the sacrifice of the and the visuals of that.
That is completely different points.
I know, but I just driven.
Why couldn't have Admiral Ackbar done that?
Right,
he was dead.
Yeah, but why? Why did you kill one of your most beloved characters?
Because it's war
off screen.
Because it's war.
Off screen. It's we're going to get... War. Let's go ahead and jump into content. Okay.
I see what you're saying, because I had that same argument with No Country for Old Men. You follow the same dude around all the time, and then he dies off screen.
We get even worse than that on this movie, so we're going to talk about it. First off, cons.
Well, let's talk about the pros, though.
Okay, you got some?
Well, Bender, we were talking about the throne room, and I interrupted him. That was by far the best.
That was... Finally saw the Crimson Guard be awesome.
Yeah.
Because you've always assumed that they're supposed to be badasses. Yeah. Uh-huh. And you got a feeling that if it was just either one of them by themselves, they're dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Their weapons were cool. They looked cool. They were very Asian influenced in their armor when they flipped off, like Shogun Warriors. It was very cool.
The back-to-back. When they were back-to-back battling them, and then like as the red burns in the back, it was fucking visually amazing.
Yeah, amazing. Awesome. You're never going to...
I think it's the best lightsaber battle ever. I mean, you can't go back to the original trilogy on that. Those are all garbage for the
most part. No, but I believe plot helped those be better.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I believe the weight of Vader versus Luke made that a more enjoyable scene for me.
Yeah, just by the fight itself, probably.
But yeah, special effects now is going to... And Dwayne made a good point, too. What was so good about it that I think was intentional is it wasn't... Yoda versus Dooku.
Yeah.
It wasn't flipping around. It was because these two aren't that powerful yet.
Right.
So it was just raw aggression. And they were like especially swinging at baseball.
Yeah.
The only
problem I had that scene was Daisy Ridley was doing her best female tennis player impression during and constantly going,
she was Monica Seles.
That was distracting.
Yeah, that was good. That was the highlight of the movie. And the movie had some highlights. I'm not going to shit on the highlights that it had. But. And this will be an overall arcing theme for me. The plot was not very well done. And I don't think...
We're going to get one more pro in. I know there's going to be a lot more cons. I liked everything about the Rey and Kylo Ren relationship.
Best things on the screen were when those two were interacting.
Yeah, by far the best actor and actress in it, in my opinion. And just...
And
they really grew Kylo Ren's character. He's by far the character I care about the most going forward.
Yeah.
And Poe chewed up scenery. Oscar Isaac chewed up scenery left and right. You know, I didn't agree with his character, but he was great on screen.
Yeah, he basically became Maverick from Top Gun.
Yeah.
I mean,
except more insubordinate and dumber plans. We're going to talk about that.
I think that was a good... it's hard to explain. Yeah, I didn't agree with any of his moves either, but I see where he was coming from.
Well, I do and I don't. I mean, I do see where he was coming from, but literally every move he made, and we could go terrible, and jump
and that was, I think, the point.
Why? First off, listen.
You got to learn to lead. He learned at the end.
By murdering everyone well, that you know.
He didn't mean to does murder mean, everyone.
But does that make any sense in battle?
He didn't mean to do it.
And I get that she demoted him, but he was clearly the most skilled pilot.
But he's a that's the point. He's a pilot, not a leader.
We're also not talking about a very organized army. So because they knew that he was so good, and by the way, they trusted him in the first one, Force Awakens, with maybe the most important mission ever to try to get
that. Yeah, they trust him to fight. They don't trust him to lead. He don't make the plans. And he just executes.
And do they not need him when it's time to fight?
Yeah.
So you keep him abreast of the plan so he doesn't go do stupid shit, which, by the way, he's prone to do. Since he was prone at the beginning to do it, you tell him the plan that there's a secret base. And if you do that, he doesn't send two people off on a mission that essentially reveals the plan and keeps them from using that as a stronghold.
But she didn't know him as, like, that guy. He was.
That's weird, Leia's because Leia was awake for a long time to tell him the plan.
But it was too late. They were already gone.
Dude.
She came through the door and shot him. Dude. So he was already gone
she
on his
had
own thing.
Plenty of times before she that was blown up that she could have.
But she didn't have. They didn't have a plan then.
No, they shot to that place with the intent of using it. They just didn't expect them.
Well, they didn't know they were being tracked then.
Right. But when they got there.
But it's still too late.
It's not too late.
It's too late. She's already dead.
You're holding it. It's too late.
Floating.
Because
she's
it's
floating in space. Which, that was a terrible.
Awful scene.
I hated that.
We'll jump to that too. Mary Poppins of Jedi.
So bad.
Stupid. Looked bad.
It did look bad.
We've never seen her use the Force. We know she's Force sensitive. Because we've seen that.
Yeah.
So now, it's not just using it. It's using death-defying aspects of it.
But you could make the argument that, like,
she's always been in canon written as being as powerful Luke. It's just latent.
Yeah, but then you could make the argument that, I don't know, instinct took over and she floated herself back.
That's
to
how
the
I interpret it.
Yeah, that's
I get
how
it too.
I did too.
And I don't mind her being powerful. I just think that you should have somehow did it better than that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The way that she did it like Superman and had the arm going like forward into the ship, that's what made it easier.
Superman would have looked better than Mannequin Girl.
Like I was listening to another podcast, The Daily Planet, and they're like, if she would have been like stuck on a piece of like shrapnel or whatever, and it turned, and she was like right next to the door and like reached out, that'd have been less cheesy than like
playing the Star
Wars
theme.
Well, I'm gonna start with my biggest con of the whole movie.
Okay.
I think this is George R. R. Martin's fault.
Okay.
Somehow, when he...
It always is his fault.
It is. In our podcast, it comes back to him. He started writing books, and then his books got popular and made it into a show, and that show made him even more popular. And now, all of a sudden, a good chunk, not everything, I can't generalize, but there's a good chunk of stories where you have these badass characters that end up doing no badass thing. We saw it all throughout Martin stuff. We never see Baratheon kick ass. We never see Stark kick ass. And we didn't see Luke kick much ass.
No.
And we wanted it.
But he had his he had three movies to kick ass and learn his thing.
But not be as powerful as he is in this one. And, by the way, everything that is...
Well, you can make a case that he was powerful, though, because he was able to force project...
Oh, no. Dwayne made the same argument. I get it. But you can't tell me that you can't make a better story for your fans by putting him there.
I think that the story was fine.
And he could have wiped his hand and leveled those AT-M6s. Just leveled them. And by the way,
it would have been cool.
Yeah, it would have been awesome. And it would have stuck to some of the stuff they've done in the past few years in the video games when you've got guys with force powers pulling TIE fighters out of the air.
I don't think that's canon anymore, though.
No, but there's other stuff. There's comics and stuff where they do that kind of big stuff in the past.
And Luke's character has been to go and save his friends. He does it in Empire. He does it in Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, I saw the meme. The meme was great. Yeah. It's like, I can't help it. My friends are in danger. I've got to save them. My friends are in danger. I'm going to go take care of this so my friends don't get hurt. Here's your lightsaber. What the fuck? You know, I mean, it's not good writing.
But they led up to that. Like, I don't think it was bad writing.
I think it's way bad writing.
I don't think so. I just think that, like, he was so beaten down by the fact that he lost what was left of the Jedi that he gave up.
Well, let's talk about
that,
too.
He was battle-worn.
It's not in Luke's character, and they didn't do a good enough job of explaining it, of him standing over his nephew and igniting his lightsaber.
See, I would have, if they could have just tweaked that a little and made that better. I don't mind him like maybe for a brief moment the dark side tried to creep in,
yeah, because he has his day in. He had in his thing.
And he instant. I don't mind that story. I like seeing it from both perspectives.
I like that.
But
show at least a 2-minute montage of him training.
But that's the
Ben
whole...
or seeing Ben do something bad where he's like, oh fuck.
Seeing that, well, he could see the dark in him. He said,
"No, yes, you know what? I agree with you. I agree with you there." And then they could have cut out the entire, almost all of the casino scene.
Oh, we're getting to that. We're gonna get to that scene.
Especially the running thing.
Yeah, well, we'll get to that in a second. But back to him, though.
I agree with you there. They could have fleshed that out a little bit more, gone back to the training where you see
but again,
some of the anger and the rage come out of Ben.
I think you're...
Kill some unnecessary sand people, since what Skywalker's doing.
See the Knight... My biggest complaint with the whole movie is that there was no Knights of Ren. Everybody wants to see those
right,
guys,
and they alluded to it again.
Yeah.
All they've done, and this is what was shitty about the prequel, the episodes 1 through 3.
They're going to stretch this out to episode 10.
No, it's
10.
Not. What they're going to do is they're going to run out of time, and then they're going to cram it in.
They're going to stretch it to episode 10.
No, it's going 9.
Disney fucking owns this, man. They're
well, you're
stretch
right,
it to 10.
But with that, we know that by the timeline of what they've released, in theory, the plan is to end this, and Rian Johnson's films take over next.
Yeah, or it's 9.1.
So, or make it double length, like a Kill Bill or Avengers
or,
Infinity
or
War.
Or Harry Potter. Or...
Yeah, Deathly Hallows. But, so, my problem with Luke, though, still, and we'll wrap up on Luke, though, is that you, like I said, you're furthering the universe, the extended universe, by sacrificing the previous one. And I think you take Luke, and I don't mind Luke dying in this. I don't. Or merging, whatever, however you want to look at it. I don't mind it at all. I just think that you could have had him on that planet. He could have done something amazing and then used his force so strong to like maybe stop a big bolt from destroying them, something, and that ate him up. And that's your go-home moment for Luke. The problem the way you did it is you made him such a curmudgeon that it literally shit on everything you've ever done with the character. Everything.
I think literally everything. I think they were trying to...
Oh, they tried.
I think they were trying to bring out the Obi-Wan...
Well, I thought he was great in the scene in the Millennium Falcon.
Obi-Wan, though, as soon as he saw the opportunity to fight, he fought.
But he was a guardian, and he...
Obi-Wan saw a holographic message and said, "I'm back in the game, baby!"
Yeah, because he had one mission, and it was to protect Luke forever. And then when it was go time, he was like, "All right, now I'm in, coach."
Well, Luke's had one mission too, not to be a dumbass, and he was a dumbass.
But he was beat down. He was destroyed by everything that he built.
He was boring. He wasn't an exciting character in this. He wasn't.
But I will say this: the scenes that made me happy the most, besides the throne room scene, was when Luke was on the Millennium Falcon.
That was R2-D2. Awesome.
That was great.
Yeah, those were great. No, those were good scenes.
And we saw Chewie. It's like, where's Han?
Was good stuff. It was the problem with the interacting with Rey and the whole fact that Dwayne's issue with the final of the Nolan vs. Batman is Batman quits twice in it, which is very uncharacteristic of Batman. Luke quits. And that's very uncharacteristic with...
I don't think it is, because he was...
But it is. It is. It's literally from every book and comic and video game and movie they've ever done.
That's not canon, though.
But it
most
doesn't
of
matter.
That's not canon.
You can't forget 20 or but 40 years of stuff.
But in the movies, he dove in. He was a headstrong, young guy. He's out there kind of like Poe. But then...
Only effective.
Okay. But either way, he was a lot like Poe. But then mistakes were made, and he can't get past them. I think it was a very human aspect for him that he cannot get past the fact that he lost his sister's son and slaughtered all the kids that were left with Force sensitivity at the time that he knew of. I think they did a good job, and I think it's a realistic part of his character. Could it have been shot less campy? There was some little bit of a camp there.
A little too much jokes, I think.
But it didn't really bother me, but I could see where it would maybe bother other people.
Too much jerking off a big old alien.
Yeah. I can tell you. I mean, I know we're not going to come to an agreement on this, but Luke is your king badass of all these movies, of all this story that we've seen.
But
he is. That you can't argue with that. He's the king badass.
I don't.
He beats Vader.
Because
he beats a washed-up Vader.
Yeah, he beats a washed-up Vader.
That wasn't a washed-up Vader.
He beats a troubled Vader.
You like can't he's, call, yeah, well, he beats Vader, though.
He's a little washed up, though. Why else would the Emperor want to bring in Luke? Because he wants Vader out.
Because he even said, I see more power in Luke.
Yeah,
I
but Luke never potential. Fully embraced his potential and his power. He fought Vader, yeah, but then he tried to train and move past it.
He became failed. A Jedi Knight, though.
Yeah, but then he failed. The only one left. There was no further
training.
Yeah,
but you said he didn't read it. He became a Jedi Knight.
But he was the last one, though. There was no further training. Right, he didn't have anybody to help him go on.
But he beat Vader as a Jedi Knight. He cut his arm off, beat Vader.
He did beat him.
And this is the Vader that murdered the entire Jedi Order.
Yeah, but he was also a flawed Vader.
Yeah, because
the Emperor might be the biggest badass.
He was. But then Vader, snuck up on him. I'm not saying there's not faults in those movies either, but by the time those movies are done...
Why is that scene a fault?
No, I'm just saying because he beat up Luke so easy, and then later one arm can run up. He doesn't sneak up on him, just walks up to him, grabs him, and picks him up, and he's still shooting in the air. I mean, it's not the best, writing, but it makes a cool story.
I think that...
You can't argue, though, that Luke is the baddest Jedi in the galaxy, especially...
I can. I think Kylo's better, and I think Rey will be, too.
No, come on. You are insane.
I think he will be better, like, skill-wise. I think
will be. Because he's still alive, and he has a chance. He never fought Luke.
But Luke didn't have that much...
How was Kylo Ren when he got wounded by fucking Finn?
And again, Rey, he's flawed. I think there's a lot...
Right.
Yeah.
So is Luke now. He is flawed now.
Although, he was still powerful enough to do something that no other Jedi could do and project himself across the galaxy. So, powerful guy.
Apparently, they put that in the Rebels show. Some other Jedi can do that now. When the Rebels show.
Well,
let up. It didn't come out of
nowhere.
They
literally said in this movie, how could you be doing this? This should kill you, when he thought that it was Rey, when Snoke was bridging them.
Yeah.
Luke did it, and it did kill him.
Yeah.
But, so, it would have...
I'm not saying that I just think, I'm buying in to he was flawed, and he was just burnt out.
Yeah, I have no doubt with that. I think it's a bad story to do that. Let me rephrase it. I think it's a bad story to have him not come back from it. This is what Luke has done.
But he's not gone. Like, he's going to be in the Force.
Oh, yeah, he'll be a Force ghost. Stupid. Stupid.
It doesn't bother me. None of that bothered me. The things that I thought was awesome is that he projected himself with a haircut and lighter hair.
Well, he made himself look like Jedi Master Luke from Return of the Jedi.
That was awesome, because before we figured out that he was a Force ghost, I'm like, did he stop and get a fucking haircut?
Well, here's some of the other things I consider a con. First off, Snoke. I don't have a problem with him dying. I have a problem with the fact that he was had such amount of screen time with no story whatsoever and no importance at all.
Yeah, red herring, and he was dressed like Gold Member from Austin Powers.
I read Rian Johnson's article on that, and really the Emperor didn't have a backstory either until later.
Yeah, right. But and maybe Snoke will have a backstory later too if we have him more of a story.
I think that's the point. Is it wasn't ever about Snoke. It's about
But that's BS too, because it is about Snoke, because Snoke rose to prominence under the radar and took over the Empire.
But then there's always there's always two, second one is always looking to take over the next spot, and Snoke got cocky and Kylo took him out.
Okay, that's why I said I don't have a problem with him dying.
Yeah,
but he was a pointless character.
He wasn't. He built Kylo up to take over.
Yeah, but we never saw any of that. We didn't
You won't see it in
expound
a movie.
On that at all. We have no idea how and you're right, we won't see it in a movie. But that's what I mean. That's what I consider bad storytelling for your movie.
I think that's the problem you get when you have a studio like Disney that takes it over. And,
oh yeah, I'd agree
and
with
has,
that. Yeah.
They plan on doing expanded universe books and short stories.
And we're now though speaking of what's the point? The casino, you could made that movie 40 minutes shorter by getting rid of the casino.
Yeah, that was awful. Benicio del Toro was a spectacular character, but everything else there was awful.
When he was on the screen, he was cool. He had no point.
I thought Rose was fine as a character until that point.
I didn't necessarily... I felt like we were forced her because she was an Asian American. I'm not disrespecting Asians or women, but I felt like they wanted to put another character in that kind of checked those categories.
I think
they also want to get people off the Finn and Rey hookup.
Yeah.
Finn and Poe. That was the biggest conversation and after The Force Awakens.
I think that was just a lot of fanfic.
But fans were theorizing about it, so they wanted to move past that because we do. Even though Disney is way more progressive than a lot of companies out there, they weren't going to do that.
No. But I think that that scene with her was a lot of the success of Rogue One, like somebody sacrificing themselves and like, oh, there's a story to go on from that.
Yeah, yeah. You know? And she's not dead though. And we'll talk.
No, but her sister was.
But let's talk about her sacrificing herself in general too, and talk about Poe a little bit. First off, that casino, the Codebreaker, all that didn't matter because it didn't matter.
It was dumb. It was
because
stupid.
it didn't change the outcome of anything.
Right.
It didn't change the outcome, and it was just that. That is where I say it was sloppy writing because, like, they just happen to bump into Benicio del Toro, who also can slice. That's
we don't know that he's the ultimate code breaker, and but that's the way things work in this Destiny and all that bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's weak. That's weak sauce. It
was,
Well, just the coincidence too of Luke and Obi-Wan running to Han Solo in the fastest.
Oh yeah, 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 thing. Yeah. I mean
that is a little. I guess it's easier to buy. You can only have so many. Coincidences, I guess.
Well, but in that one, though,
a problem with coincidences in a movie like this because that's part of the deal. You have to suspend your belief.
The reason I'll buy into the Han coincidence is they weren't looking for Han Solo. They were just looking for a smuggler that could get him out, and he just happened to be a very good one.
Yeah.
Not the best. He had the best ship. Lando, arguably the best smuggler because look what he built himself. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But the other thing we'll go with we'll talk about Rose's scene, her sacrificing herself for. My problem with that, again, and not that it was necessarily post-plan, it was kind of post-plan, but that was a wasted scene, too. Those skimmers, they were going out there to delay that, and they didn't delay it. They didn't and sell toys. Yeah, they didn't delay it whatsoever.
Yeah.
That thing went off without a hook. She sacrificed herself, and it was noble, and it was a cool scene, but all they could have said is, hey, let's just retreat and not put everybody out there in the front line, because they didn't slow him down.
No.
But isn't that what he learned, though, from that first battle?
That was Poe's growing moment.
Yeah, Poe had to let a lot of people die in order to grow.
Yeah.
Maybe the worst military guy of all time.
Yeah.
George Washington. Maybe that's it. Poe's going on to be president because George Washington was an awful military man, and he became a president.
In the beginning, he got better in the end.
Washington, he won Yorktown. He won Saratoga.
He lost more battles than he won. Look it up.
He won two big ones, though.
He won two big ones. I put as a negative.
Nobody remembers the battles you lost.
Poe making any plan is bad. Yeah. That's bad for story.
Just let that guy fly.
If you're in the military and Poe says, hey, let's do this, go do the complete opposite.
Yep.
And we already talked about why not just tell him to plan. That's my biggest negative. Those were my biggest negatives.
And my other thing with the why not tell him to plan is I think she's trying to establish leadership and.
That doesn't. That all is, right, I'm doesn't make sense.
So a couple other things real quick, con-wise. So we were talking about the scene where Rose saves Finn.
Yep.
How come the ATs didn't shoot them?
Yeah, I was wondering that too.
They were too close to the.
Well, they just assume that they're dead already?
I guess. But they had that long walk back to the base.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Yeah.
There's a lot of dangling questions, and I even referenced about it on that I was going to look up on Facebook this good article, one of my favorite ones I read. But I'm not going to mess with that. I mean, there's a lot of dangling questions. One of them is the little boy in the broom, and that's not necessarily. I think that was
the overall point of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. Well, here's my thing with the little boy in the broom. Everybody's like, is he the next big Jedi? I don't think he even has to be in the movie going forward. It's just that there's other people out there.
Rebellion.
By the way, his name is Temeri Blagg is the name of that character.
Oh, really?
Is he in Ravenclaw?
Neat.
Yeah, they named him. Awful names, by the way.
I didn't see online where it's like...
The spaghetti one?
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
Have you heard this?
Uh-uh.
Your Star Wars name is your favorite Italian dish and then just split it somewhere?
Yeah.
So like cannoli?
Yeah. Spa.
Yeti. I also have a problem being the old mining storage planet is named Crate. They just spelt it different. You know? Yeah. I mean, it's... I don't know. It's the worst naming of all time, though, is in the... what's that franchise with Von Dussel? Pitch Black is the second
Vin
one.
Diesel.
Yeah, Von Dussel. That's his real name. He made it tougher by saying Vin Diesel.
Oh, is it really Von Dussel?
No.
I don't know. I got Vin.
He's looking at you.
He got two of them.
The second one, the one where Chronicles of Riddick.
Yeah.
He comes from a very angry, violent past, and the people, and those people are called Furions. There's a very hot planet. It's called Inferno or something. Yeah. I mean, it's the worst.
It's the worst movie.
I dig it. It's Space Conan. here's some cool notes I put on the movie, though. Canto Bight, you know, the casino.
Mm-hmm.
That sweeping scene when you first walk in the casino, that's a shot-for-shot remake from a 1927 silent picture called Wings, which was the first picture to ever win Best Picture. Hmm. It was the first Academy Award.
That's fun
and,
fact.
Yeah, and it, I mean, if you see them side by side, it's mm-hmm. the same scene.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
And Wings was an underrated show in the 80s.
It really was. Launched Hayden Church. Or not Hayden Church, Hayden Christensen. Hayden. Yeah. And gave us the best Superman voice.
Hmm.
Tim Daly was the voice of Superman on the cartoons.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The dice Luke gave Leia, that was a big part of the movie.
Where did those dice come from?
Dice were hanging on the Falcon.
Yeah, you saw them in episode one.
In Force Awakens.
Or four, I mean.
Those are the dice that Han references when he said he won the Falcon in a game. And it was those dice.
We'll find out more about those.
Yeah, we definitely will.
Yeah, was it May?
The Luke's quote-unquote, and I even gave it the quote-unquotes on it, death scene is the dual sun was a frame-for-frame almost reenactment of the first time he saw the dual suns from Tatooine, that scene. So we saw Luke come in and go out the same way. That's pretty cool. I will say this real quick before I get into the cameos. What I did like in terms of plot or direction of the movie is that everybody shit on Force Awakens was that it was like almost beat for beat remake of New Hope. This one, they tried to make it as close to Empire and swerve us. I don't have a problem with that. Like, it wasn't an ice planet of Hoth. It was a salt planet of the Krayt. And instead of her parents being important, they were just... You know,
nobody's
parents, yeah.
Oh, one other quick con. The whole Captain Phasma thing.
Oh, that was, I forgot. I wrote her down too. Captain Phasma.
That was the scene when he goes, "Come at me, Chrome Dome," where I went,
"Oh." And they tell us, oh, yeah, that was bad. And I had someone on Facebook say, "Well, that's Finn." Okay, still stupid. Maybe if his delivery would have been cheesier, I would have liked it better. Like if he would have awkwardly said it.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, well, you try this, Chrome Dome. You know, something like go totally Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle on us or something.
Yeah, like Hedy gotten punched first and was like trying to bring himself back together. That was a shitty banter that he came up with to distract her for a second.
Yeah, like she hesitated because it was stupid and then he kicked her. I'm fine with that. That's comedy in a good way.
But, staying on that real quick, though. Like, everybody's like shitting on her and like she is a useless character that looks cool, but so was Boba Fett.
Oh, movies. Yeah, you're right. But and that's my biggest problem.
He went out like a bitch.
He really did. I mean, like, they expanded on him in the universe and made him cool.
He
didn't go
out. He survived that in the books.
In the movie, legend. He went out like a bitch.
Yeah, no, he did. But I'm just saying, that was to his point. And to same point, she's supposedly really cool in the comics and stuff. And the books.
I'm reading them now. She hasn't shown up yet.
So she's supposed to be awesome, and they've got story on her. But here's my problem with that, and here's my problem with Disney, and it's why everybody hates Marvel and DC for doing these epic events, because they'll do the main story to relate it to comics,
exactly. That's
and then you give
Snoke.
The 12 things. It's not working in comic books right now, and at some point, it's going to deflate in movies, too.
No, I agree.
And that's my biggest problem with this. They gave us all these characters whose stories went nowhere, and there's backstories that we didn't see. Like, we'll see Snoke backstory. We will.
Yeah.
We'll find out how he rose to power.
The thing is, like, I've listened to, or tried to listen to all these, like, backstory books and all this stuff. They're fucking terrible. Mm. They're not good. They're not interesting.
Well, then it's keeping right in line with them.
There's one set of stories.
Woolery. I think Chuck Woolery is the word.
Something like that.
Let's make a love connection.
That's the only one that's the Chuck guy who's got books. Those are the only ones that are good. I've listened to everybody else's, like, and I can't get through them all.
It's weird because...
Are these the canon ones or the legendary?
No, these are canon.
These are current canon. It's weird because...
Because, like, the General Thrawn ones were good.
Oh, yeah. All the Timothy Zahn books were pretty awesome, and so were the R.A. Salvatore books. Oh, those don't exist anymore.
Didn't Timothy Zahn come back?
He did the new... The Vong, the new threat that came through after his
book. Oh, that's when I got out.
Yeah, he was the first book after...
Whenever they killed off Chewie, I was like, okay.
That was his book.
Oh, those were dumb.
I loved Salvatore's book. I thought that book was great. I didn't like the ones that followed. He only wrote that one.
So, didn't Timothy Zahn come back?
I don't know.
It's Chuck Wendig is...
Chuck Woolery is the host of Love Connection. That's why we were giving
shit. It was driving me nuts to figure out what his last name was. I was going to say Wendigo.
So I want to get into the cameos in here because some of these are pretty cool. When the soldier on Krayt sees the footprint and then he licks the salt.
Yeah.
Next to him, that soldier is Gareth Edwards, who filmed, you know,
which Rogue One. That whole scene was cool. And I read a whole thing on where they shot that in the salt flats.
Mm-hmm.
That's fucking gorgeous.
Very awesome there. Looking. Very pointless, yeah. But awesome looking.
Yeah.
Voice actors, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Warwick Davis.
Yeah.
Stormtroopers of note, Tom Hardy. Prince William and Harry, although they their were scene cut. Were cut. Yeah. Yeah. The casino scene, the coolest thing about the casino scene, Missy, do you want to come over here real quick, even though she's in the room? No, the casino scene, the most famous person right now or most talked about person in the casino scene, in the background there's this funny looking alien, which is actually a CG'd over version of Gary, Carrie Fisher's dog, which if you guys don't know right now, this is a controversial dog. Have you seen this?
That he cried or whatever?
No, Missy's told me.
Dog.
The dog.
How the hell did a dog die or cry?
No.
When he saw her face, he cried.
No.
Luke cries every time he sees me?
He's a cute.
No, the reason I wanted to ask Missy to come over, because she's the one that told me this. Apparently, is it Mark Hamill himself has tried?
No, her assistant has ownership of this dog instead of... what's Carrie Fisher's daughter's name? Billy Lord.
Billy Lord.
And this assistant has tried to get this dog to events, kind of in place of Carrie since she passed away. And Billy Lord and her dad have stopped all of this. But Mark Hamill requested that Gary the dog come to an event that he was at. And it was denied because Billy Lord thinks that this cheapens her life and her legacy is by putting a dog in her place.
The dog being marched around because the fans want to see the dog and because it's part of Carrie Fisher cheapens her existence.
2017.
Yeah. I just thought that was a weird note that the dog is in the film. So here's the thing. She may think it cheapens her existence, but I got to tell you, that dog was in the Star Wars films. That dog is a celebrity.
Yeah. Her daughter's in it. And
Billy Lord's in it. Yeah,
Billy Lord.
And apparently that character has a lot of importance to the books and stuff too. So
who is she in it?
She was the one that was on Poe's side, that was on the bridge and stuff, the girl that helped him out, that was clearly an officer. She was also in that's a cool gingerbread house. John just showed me a gingerbread house made into an Imperial Star Destroyer.
Yeah, that's cool.
Which, by the way, design wise, the Dreadnought and the Snoke's Star Destroyer, those are awesome.
Yeah.
But I will say this, as awesome as they are, and this is a problem I've always had with Star Trek itself too, where are these built and how do they get built? Because I gotta tell you, yeah, okay, thank you, Conrad and Bruce, but I gotta tell you, if I was the Rebels, I would attack that place. Yeah. I would try to set up a mission to attack that place. You are awful.
Well, that's the thing.
How do you keep kicking that?
But they showed in the movie that the Rebels probably buy the ships from the same place.
Yeah.
Well, the Calamarians, the Akbar's people, are the ones that
Boeing's making. That was all the bad.
Well, that was if you know anything from the past stuff, and apparently they've allowed that to stay part of canon. Is Akbar's people,
the Calamarians,
they make the best ships. That's why the Rebel ships are better than the Empire
because they're actually Calamarian
design
pods. They're houses that they live.
Yeah, and they don't. Won't make them for the Empire. They won't set like these people on the casino planet will make them and sell them.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if you're the Empire or the... I'm sorry. We should stop calling it the Empire. If you're the First Order and you're this big, bad military, which I'm glad they're moving away from that plot device because you write yourself into a corner. And why wouldn't you just go shoot all these people and take their...
Another problem I had with the movie, too, that I need to bring it up is... So they blow up the Star Killer base, right?
Call it what it is, Death Star 2.
Death Star 3.
3, yeah, 3. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And then, I don't know how much time goes by. It can't be that much because we kick off right as Rey hands the light. So let's say a month, maybe?
5 minutes.
5 minutes.
Yeah, and a half.
And all of a sudden the Rebel Army's down to 3 ships after this big victory?
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, go ahead.
Staying on that problem with, you know, the Star Wars and that.
Also,
The Force Awakens... It bothered me like when they go in to blow up the thing in the Starkiller base in Force Awakens and they're looking for Rey. I'm like, it's a whole fucking planet and you guys just happen to be in the same 500 square foot radius.
You have to trust the Force, John.
No, I'm just saying, like, if we're going things that are ridiculous, like that was a whole planet. She could have been anywhere else and she's 1,000 yards away.
Also, why didn't the First Order do like a pincher trap and send a few ships in front of the Rebels?
They couldn't do that. They were stretched out.
Yeah, it was too... And the Calamarian ships are too fast.
Yeah. And the other problem I had was when she did... It was a cool scene.
They have in the past.
Yeah, they did say the calamari and chitch was lighter and smaller.
Yeah, they did say, and they said that one was, we can get far enough away.
So you couldn't go hyperspace, like just a little
bit? They said they couldn't jump in front and...
We also...
They couldn't light speed in front of them, and they could have.
The reason we know they could have, because we saw them do it to them.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I feel like that Snoke and Kylo Ren would sacrifice one Star Destroyer to finish this whole thing.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So, and then I also think that the last Rebel ship... would not have been able to turn around that fast to shoot through there. Cool looking scene.
But we don't know how space works, John.
By the time she turned around, they would have just bumped
into
her.
Shoot, you're dead.
Yeah.
Well, that was stupid. I don't know what she was even trying.
It was cool looking.
Here's some other things. I did want to point out some of the new weapons and technology. I did like the evolution of technology that was groundwork was laid in Rogue One about being able to track light speed.
What about bombers working in...
Although, we did see new Rebel bombers, but also maybe the poorest designed weapon in the entire galaxy.
Oh, Jesus
Christ.
Wouldn't
the bombs just float away?
Or, let's just assume for the fact that they're propelled down. Wouldn't you wanted to put a little bit more thrust in those bad sucking sons of bitches?
Could you make it less easy to shoot at?
Kylo's TIE fighter looked way cooler than Vader's. His TIE fighter was awesome. Yeah. The siege cannon on Crait, which I'm told the backstory on it is a scaled down version of Death Star technology.
I think they say that.
Did they say it in there?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's near the end, and you were probably checked out by then.
Also, a design flaw that you charge that motherfucker on the way down.
Yeah.
It needs the
salt. It only works on salt.
Apparently, for one, way to look ahead, and two, bad design.
Yeah.
The AT-M6, I liked them, even though they did nothing. But they're way bigger. If you saw that scene, there's an AT-AT walking next to it, and they're like,
half knuckle as tall. Look.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, like cool. They're gorillas.
Yeah.
You know? And then the biggest weapon I thought in this was the lack of a Death Star. Yay, no Death Star plan. It's awesome.
We just took one of the cannons off it. That's cool.
Yeah.
Don't worry about it.
So that being said, I mean, I've been back and forth all day. We're going to do our review here, and I'll give you mine first because I got a feeling mine might be the lowest. I went back and forth. I talked myself into liking this movie more, and then I would really break down the plot, and then I hated it. I feel like it was too long because there was a lot of exposition that was pointless. I feel like it didn't do justification to some characters, and I feel like some characters, like in Leia's thing, they made him just cheesy.
Mm-hmm.
We still, you know, Chewbacca's still around. I'm happy about that.
Yeah, that bothered me that there's not enough Chewie in this one.
Yeah, I mean...
Yeah.
I feel like he should have...
Or R2.
Yeah, but boy, I tell
I'm
you
fine
what.
With no I like R2. That
BB-8, though. I would be fine with no R2 if we didn't get so much BB-8. And by the way, even Benicio del Toro said he got 3 times more close-ups than I did. Mm-hmm. And
he also got molested by an Harvey Weinstein alien.
Wow. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. And his evil twin, you know, we didn't even see him duke it out that too well. The BB Dark.
That's strictly self-taught.
So there was a lot of negatives. That said, there were some positives that I really enjoyed. The lightsaber battle, which I, like you said, I don't know that it was the... It definitely looked the best. It was not the best, in my opinion, because it didn't have any emotional weight to it like you wanted.
So what is the best?
What do you mean?
The lightsaber battle.
What do you mean it didn't have emotional weight?
Luke Vader was more emotionally... there was more to that story. That lightsaber battle meant more to me.
That's your favorite?
To you.
Yeah, yeah.
But I think that lightsaber battle... I think that was probably the best one I've ever...
That's the problem. It wasn't a lightsaber battle, by the way. It was two people fighting with lightsabers, but they did not battle each other.
Old movies were cool,
yeah.
But the lightsaber battles are the cheesiest part of them all.
I don't think they're the cheesiest part of them. I think that's completely wrong. Yeah. Especially Return of the Jedi when they were finally.
Well, they got better then, but like the first one where they're just like when.
Well, that
when,
one. Yeah.
Well, first
a
one
New
though.
Hope. There's cheeseball-y.
Literally only one part that has a lightsaber.
I know it's pretty cheeseball-y.
And he lets him kill him.
Yeah, I know.
So,
but they still only like move
but
like
I mean,
right in here.
That was the. I'm giving you credit that's the best scene of the movie.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was a lightsaber battle.
Best
I think it was
battle
just
is Anakin versus Obi-Wan.
I hate that.
Why do you hate that?
Because it ends with, Anakin, you can't possibly win. I have the high ground. Except he's flip-flopping all over the fucking place before.
They battle across an entire fucking planet.
Plus those movies, and I will tell you And I'll tell you why that's not as good. Because, and here's my ranking of this movie. I gave it 3.5 out of 6 beers. I put it the 4th. Worst, or however you want to say it, I put episodes 1, 2, and 3 much worse, and then I put this one. And
wait, they're better.
No, worse. Episode one, two, and three are worse.
Sorry. I'm thinking the old.
Yeah, and then I put this one, and then I put Hope, Jedi, Empire, Awakens with Empire, and Rogue One. That to me is the best.
Rogue One,
I think, is the best movie out of all of them.
I think it's the best as a whole.
Yeah.
Like, well put together movie.
Because it's a self-contained story.
Yeah.
That didn't have to worry about too other much. I mean, there were some plot holes in it, too, but
no,
still.
I agree with you there. I think that in 10 years... that this one, like the next generation that watches, like my son, I think that these, as long as they do the next one right, I think these will be their Star Wars, and then they'll go back and these other ones are really good. I think they...
That's a kind of a cop-out, though.
I don't think so.
No, of course it will be, because one, all the things you said, special effects are better.
I'm just saying, like, I think the story itself is fine. I don't think there's... What I'm saying is that there's not 40 years of, like, and... all this canon that they threw out the window that everybody knows about for Luke. I think that they did a good job there, and it didn't bother me. Any of the story. I enjoyed it. I would put it 5th, probably. So Rogue One's my favorite, and then Empire, New Hope, Force Awakens, and then this one.
But, so after all that, you're still putting the original trilogy in front of it.
Return of the Jedi sucked.
Jedi is great.
He loves Jedi.
It does suck.
You like the story. You love where it's going, but yet, New Hope and Empire are still better.
No. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, I
think that if they would have gotten rid of the casino scene, it would have been much better. I will say that walking out of The Force Awakens, I was excited from the beginning, and I was happy all the way through because it was like, go, 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 go. Same with Rogue One. It was kind of just go, and it led up. But this one, like, went and lulled and went and lulled and went and lulled. And so I, like, walked out feeling very conflicted. But after thinking about it, I still enjoyed it.
I didn't like
having to think about it.
I'm gonna let Tom go. But my overall contention with this is people say, well, you're just a Star Wars fanatic. No, I'm a movie fanatic. And I think it's a flawed movie. Not Star Wars movie, just a flawed movie.
Yeah.
And that's my biggest problem.
I think it has problems, but I think it was still a good Star
that's why,
Wars
That's why
film.
I didn't give it a 2 or a 1. I gave it 3. That's a watchable. I'll watch it again.
I'll give it a 4.
That's a good score. And it's almost impossible for this franchise to get a 6 because it's so divisive on whatever plan you make or whatever thing you go. You'd have to really hit it out of the ballpark to get 6 out of 6.
I think Rogue One was close to a 6 out
I gave,
of 6.
I'd give it a 5.5. That's me for Rogue One. But also, it is as far away by still being a part of that story, as far away as you could get, which was cool. Yeah. So,
and that's what I like about it.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Go to Tom.
So I walked out of it thinking it was probably better than Force Awakens and probably would have given it a 4. And then after I thought about it Sunday night, I probably had it as low as 2.5 at one point.
Mm-hmm.
And now kind of thinking about I've never thought about a Star Wars movie as much as I've thought about this one. I've gone back and forth. I'm going to go with Jeremy and end up with a 3.5.
Really?
I have it right now probably, if not 3rd from last, 4th from last. I really, and you guys make fun of me. I like Revenge of the Sith a lot. I think it's a good movie.
No, Return of the Jedi, you mean?
I don't agree. I mean, it's fine to not agree, by the way,
course,
people.
Yeah.
But I don't.
I feel like I when I go back and watch Star Wars scenes, I watch that lightsaber fight with Anakin and Kenobi. Top 5 favorite scenes. Because there is so much emotion, especially watching the Clone Wars now.
There's so much emotion,
and the first time I saw it, the whole the high ground, and I thought it was cheesy. Now it makes a little bit more sense, and the more Anakin's character has been fleshed out through the Clone Wars and stuff, Those guys were best.
Are you talking about the cartoon?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good cartoon.
Those guys were best friends. Yeah. And, like, the pain of Obi-Wan seeing his friend.
Oh, and I knew all that going into that scene. Sure. They didn't have to flesh it out. I knew it. It just still... I mean, that movie, just those three movies were just so... And Hayden Christensen... Inability. He's not a bad actor per se. He's done some roles.
Yeah, he's just that was a heavier role than he should have had.
Well, was it or was it a way badly written dialogue?
I don't think he's bad in clones. I don't think he's bad in Sith at all. He's better as a heel, as bad Anakin than he is love struck Anakin. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And really, Attack of the Clones, I just recently watched it for the first time in probably a decade last week. It's okay. The problem is, every scene where they're on Naboo is god-awful.
Oh, yeah.
But when they go to, what, Genosha? Is that the planet?
Something like that, yeah.
It's okay. The scene between Obi-Wan and Jango Fett fighting, it's all right. Yeah. In the rain.
Oh, there's good scenes, yeah.
The worst Star Wars movie is probably Clones, and it's probably a 2 out of 6.
Yeah. Phantom Menace is also not good.
Yeah, I've been noticing like a phenomenon lately where people are ranking Clones last and Menace above it. It's all because of the Duel of the Fates.
Yeah.
Everything else about that movie is not that good.
The races? Oh, God, and that's bad.
That's what, like, the moment that they put in the race in this movie, I was like, did you not fucking learn your lesson?
Yeah, but then they didn't do it. So that was, again, a swerve.
But they did still ride those fucking animals, and that was dumb. That was stupid. Yeah,
I like how they say the animals, so but not the slave children.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't say the slave
children. I love your politics, animals, Star Wars.
And they basically, like, that was my explanation. They're like, well, we failed. So you're just, everyone's fucking dead now, but you let some dogs go, which I love dogs, but that was stupid.
Yeah. I want to talk another thing about, I think people think it's now, you know, easy to pile on Jedi because of the Ewoks. But besides the Ewoks, everything else in that movie is pretty fucking good.
The speeder scenes are cool. I said, I love that lightsaber fight. That's still my favorite one between Vader because I like when they light them up and hit, the whole room goes dark. Like the energy was sucked out of the room. I understand choreography wise and everything, it's not the best. But there was no such thing as good CG then.
No, yeah.
So I understand, but that's my problem with these movies is the first three movies built to that moment. And these movies have not shown us what they're building to. And I don't dig that.
I think that we
know Rey Kylo, and I'm okay with that being the big thing. I just don't like the direction they're taking. I personally don't think, and I think it's badly written.
Well, who knows
that?
Because J.J. Abrams could do what Ryan Johnson did to him and just blow all his shit up.
Yeah.
He could go like 20 minutes in the movie and
he could really
Rey can find out that she's really
Obi-Wan. I do, and I don't know this for sure, but I really feel
they
like...
They did move his scar. They could move his scar back.
I did really feel like that... I do feel like J.J. Abrams is going to give us a sequel to Force Awakens. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's the way it feels to me, and that's my big problem with it is that...
I think one director should have done all three.
Yeah, me too. I think Abrams should just... And I know he... There. By the way, the one thing I didn't write down, another shout-out to the Beastie Boys from J.J. Abrams is the world's biggest Beastie Boy fan.
Yeah.
And one of the pilots was named Slow Inlow.
Slow... Yeah, no, there's other references besides just that.
Yeah, I know, but that was the best one.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, that's the... And no, every movie J.J. Abrams has ever produced or made, it has a Beastie Boys reference in it.
That's awesome.
So that said, you gave it a 5.5. Me and Tom,
five.
Tom and I gave it both a 3.5.
You gave it 5.5 out of 6.
I gave it 5.
5. Oh. We both gave it a 3.5. Mathematically speaking, that's what? That's 7, 12. 4. That's a 4. That averages out to a 4. That's a solid movie.
It's a good movie.
I don't get the people who love it and say it's the best movie ever.
The
people who shit all over it. I don't get that.
Into it, that may have been my biggest problem on why I did not enjoy it because
we all had too much expectation. I think.
Yeah, and it had a 96% going in, and it's lowered. It does. It's not the worst Star Wars movie. Like the
I'm glad
fan
I saw
rating
it on Sunday when I read an article about the divide between the fans and the critics.
See, I did
because I was prepared for something might be wonky.
Yeah, but let me just say, let's close it. Let's close it up. It's not the worst Star Wars film, like the fans. Reviews are, and it's not the best like the critics are saying.
I think it's fine,
and it's fine. It's in the middle. It may even be upper middle to some people, but it is not. It's not the masterpiece we were hoping. It just turns out at the end of the day, it's a quality movie.
Yeah.
And with its faults. I can overlook its faults for the sake of Star Wars, but there were a lot that got me riled up, and the more I thought about them, the more I got riled up.
If the critics didn't suck it off so bad, I think we're not even talking about the bad things.
But we're close to the end of the episode. So we've been talking for over an hour, and I knew this was going to dominate a lot. And this might be boring to some people, but I don't care. We've never ranted on a movie, and that probably is, you know,
It's one of our legs.
Yeah, but we've never devoted so much time to one single topic, I don't think, which is probably a good indicator that this movie is going to be around for a while, causing controversy. But let's get the flop back in before we sign off, because she's still in the room. She's, like I said, she's doing phone time and loot time.
She's so deep into her phone that she didn't even hear.
And we'll start with her, and we'll see. I know I threw it to Missy once, but you've heard us bitching and moaning for a while. You don't have to add anything to the movie, but do you have anything to add, period, on the episode?
No.
Are we more attractive now than we were an hour ago?
Gotta be. Well, she's been drinking.
Yeah, you guys are super sexy now.
It's a wash.
Yeah.
You're less attractive because you actually thought his name was Von Dussel.
Yeah, I'd love to do that.
We, a long time ago, me and a guy named Will, who Missy's met, William. William was the guy that said that. He goes, I got a picture of that guy's real name being Von Dussel, but he got beat up a lot as a kid, so he started pumping iron and said, I'm more of a diesel.
I go with Vin Dinkle.
That's a good one, too. We actually named him Heimo Von Dussel.
Yeah.
What do you got, John? Anything from you?
No. You know what? Nope. We'll get into it, but I watched another space movie that was kind of, fans liked it, but critics didn't so much. I watched that Valerian.
I thought it was okay. It wasn't Fifth Element.
Visually, it was very pretty.
Visually, it's hard to make a better sci-fi movie than what he does.
Yeah, but it wasn't Fifth Element. It was good, though.
What about you?
Well, you know what? We are not short of hot takes, but the Blues are short of goals lately. You need to get some offense back into the team.
See what he did there?
I did. I like his Blues shirt and everything.
Oh, yeah.
No. Short on hot takes, but they're short on goals. It was smooth. Anyway. It would have been better if he'd have mentioned, I saw it.
Yeah, you get it. That's why we got the thing. Yeah.
It would have been smooth if you didn't say anything at all.
Anybody talking to you right
just
now?
Just saying.
I mean, just let it roll right in.
Well, anyway, I just want to say Merry Christmas to you fine folks and to all of our people out there, especially
it's
you,
Happy
Re-Rat.
Holidays, man.
I'll probably release this on Saturday.
Do we have a lot of Jews listening to this show? I don't
know. I'll probably release this on Saturday.
Is Ben Shapiro listening to this show?
Yeah. I'm going to release this on Saturday before Christmas. That way they get that extra day.
Unless you're a Patreon member.
Yeah.
Well, that hasn't started yet,
I haven't started.
Man.
I'm starting that in January.
You don't listen. No,
I don't listen.
So we'll do that. So
pay $100 and you get this tomorrow.
$100 and we'll almost give you a hand job. Me, I'm not even doing that.
As the female of this podcast,
for $100, we'll let you drive here yourself and sit in the studio and watch us live.
No doubt. And that note, let's give a good rallying cry for the Blues.
Let's go Blues!
Hold on to your butts.
You never know what he's going to give us. Yeah. You never know what he's going to give us.
That was less
We're going to play the music.
We got lots of ones.
Hey, by the way, we haven't talked about it. Maybe we can talk about it on New Year's.
We get some of those?
Yeah, we always do. Oh. And we talked about it. Yeah,
I know you guys talked about it. He had talked about it.
Oh, okay.
We want to say something
like that. You must stay